contributed today, helping us make that challenge that is underway right now. We have 48 calls to go on that. When we hear from 75 pledges, we'll receive $1,000 from AgriGold, Global Commodity Analytics, Farm Credit Services, and Bates Commodities. The number to call, 217-244-9455.
You bet, Dave. Do it right now, 217-244-9455 for all of those who have pledged throughout the day and in the past. Thank you so much. And if you haven't ever pledged, maybe now's the time. The number to call, 217-244-9455. Pledge your support to WILL, Illinois Public Media, the Closing Mark Report, and Agricultural Programming.
It's 2:41. You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. We're back here with the program this afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. In business foods, ConAgra Foods says it will cut sodium from the food it makes by 20% by 2015. Chief Executive Officer Gary Rodkin says the food maker wants to make food healthier and lure health-conscious shoppers. The decision will affect as many as 20 brands and 160 varieties of products. New reports from the government today suggest that layoffs are easing and that inflation is not a problem. The Labor Department says new claims for jobless benefits fell by 10,000 last week to the lowest level since January. Also, consumer prices rose 0.2%. last month. And a House panel has voted to regulate privately traded derivatives for the first time. The exotic financial instruments were at the heart of the failure of Wall Street's Lehman Brothers and nearly toppled American International Group, AIG. At the moment, the Dow is currently up 15 points at 10,031. The NASDAQ is off 4 points at 2,167. The S&P 500 up 2 at 1,094. Nearby crude in New York is trading up 240 at 77.54.
Imagine you're enjoying a nice cool drink on a hot summer day when all of a sudden your cool liquid leaps out of the cup towards the sun or starts climbing up the sides of the cup and spills over the edge. You might think you're living in an episode of The Twilight Zone, and you'd be right, sort of. The everyday liquids we encounter, from our kitchen faucets or in our soda cans, would never be so odd-tempered. But there are some liquids that are just this strange, although we would never encounter them in our daily lives. These substances, called superfluids, can only be found on Earth in laboratories, where they are meticulously manufactured by scientists. They're aberrant in nature because, for one, they are very, very cold, much colder than any naturally occurring thing on the planet. While Antarctica is at its coldest, negative 130 degrees Fahrenheit, superfluids typically run about 330 degrees colder than that, near absolute zero. For example, helium, which we typically engage in its gaseous form. It liquefies at about 10 degrees Fahrenheit above absolute zero and turns superfluid 6 degrees colder. Held in a cup, it will climb the walls of its chamber in a very thin layer up and over the cup's rim. Shine a flashlight on a tube partially submerged in superfluid helium, and the bizarre stuff flows upward out the tube, like a fountain, towards the light. This moment of science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Office of the Provost. Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Watt with help from Thomas Killian at Rice University. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amomentofscience.org. For A Moment of Science, I'm Yael Cassander.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from the Theater Council, presenting An Evening with David Sedaris, author, humorist, and frequent contributor to NPR and This American Life, live at the Virginia Theater on Friday, October 16th at 8 p.m. Ticket information at 217-356-9063.
In sports, conservative radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh is blaming others for being dropped from the group trying to buy the St. Louis Rams. On his syndicated show today, Limbaugh said he was approached by the St. Louis Blues chairman, Dave Checketts, earlier this year about participating in a Rams bid. He also said Checketts assured him his involvement as a minority investor had been vetted by the NFL. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Colts owner Jim Irsay both expressed misgivings this week about Limbaugh's involvement. Late yesterday, Checketts said Limbaugh had been dropped from the bid. There's an interesting top 25 matchup tonight in Tampa, where number 21 South Florida plays host to 8th-ranked Cincinnati. The visiting Bearcats have the number one pass offense in the Big East, while the Bulls have the top pass defense in the conference. Following a two-day break, baseball's postseason resumes tonight in Los Angeles, where the Dodgers and defending champion Phillies are scheduled to play Game 1 in their best-of-seven NLCS. The Blackhawks are in Nashville, where they'll face the Predators in the second of back-to-back games tonight. The St. Louis Blues begin a three-game road trip tonight in Phoenix against the Coyotes. That's sports.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Joyce Foundation and the Great Lakes Fishery Trust. You can hear the report and subscribe to the daily podcast at environmentreport.org.
It's 2:46. One part of the real estate market that may be showing promise is green homes, energy-efficient houses that promote a more sustainable lifestyle. NPR's Adam Hochberg reports on one developer in Phoenix, Arizona. The developer is trying to lure suburbanites to the city with homes that are smaller and closer to mass transit.
The idea that Philip Beer is promoting may seem a bit counterintuitive in a sprawling metropolitan area like Phoenix. In this market, most of the housing stock was built since 1980, and suburban subdivisions advertise amenities like whirlpool tubs and media rooms. But Beer is trying to sell older tract homes in unpolished city neighborhoods.
We have a home from 1957. Not a whole lot's been done to it.
This is a very basic home, even by 1957 standards.
Mm-hmm. Five rooms? Yeah, including the kitchen.
Beer heads a company called Green Street Development, and he's betting that young professionals are tired of commuting into the city from the outskirts of town. So he's bought a couple dozen foreclosed homes at trustee sales, small ranches, 1,400 square feet or so, close to downtown and mass transit. He's renovating them now, making them a bit more modern and a lot more energy efficient. Beer hasn't sold any yet, but he's marketing them mainly to people who live in bigger homes in the suburbs.
It might be someone who works downtown that wants to have a walkable neighborhood. They can walk to the cafe, real cool cafe down the street. Or they can walk down to light rail and take it to work or to the ball game, spend more time at home, drive their car less.
That kind of urban living wouldn't be a novelty in cities like Washington or Boston, where there's long been a premium on decent homes near transit lines. But in Phoenix, where land is plentiful and cheap, most development has been in the ever-expanding suburbs. And only in the past year has the city opened its first light rail line. All of Green Street's homes are within a quarter mile of the line, and designer Amy Boubier promotes them as small, sustainable, and economical.
Now, I do see a change happening in that people are downsizing, and they're making smaller spaces more functional. People are less about it trying to impress and more about spaces that function well, that are well-priced, that meet their budget.
Because the homes were foreclosures, the developers say they can sell them below market value, even after the renovations. Most will go for $200,000 to $400,000. You could still get a bigger house in the suburbs for less, but Phoenix real estate economist Elliot Pollack predicts in-town living will appeal to a lot of buyers in an area where the average round-trip commute time is about an hour.
This creates a lifestyle that doesn't exist anywhere else in Phoenix. This allows you to keep your automobile in the garage instead of taking it out every day to commute to work. And so, yes, I think there's definitely a market for this.
Clay Richardson is considering buying one of the renovated homes. With his wife and two children, he now lives in a suburban golf course community in a four-bedroom house with the typical new home amenities.
See, you can see the backyard there. We actually have some mountain views back here.
Richardson says they're willing to give up their big master suite and granite countertops in exchange for a less hectic lifestyle.
We understand the trade-offs, but a lot of days I'm getting home at, 8 o'clock, 8:30, and the children are in bed. I almost always eat by myself. and we're looking to spend more time with family.
The Phoenix area has seen a handful of other housing projects start to come up near the new light rail line, which so far has attracted more riders than its planners had projected. But most of that housing takes the form of more traditional newly built condos or apartments. The idea of doing green renovations to foreclosed homes is one that's rarely been tried in any city, and one that will be tested when the Phoenix developers put the first of their older inner-city houses on the market next week. Adam Hochberg, NPR News.
It's 10 minutes before 3 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. This is the first full day of our fall fun drive. And what we're trying to do here, this drive, is to get people to come on board to become members of the Friends of WILL with a pledge of financial support. The number you call to make a pledge is 244-9455, 244-WILL. The area code is 217. Another way you can join us is online. Maybe you're sitting at the computer right now. You can join us online at willpledge.org with a credit card pledge. Or here's another thing you could do. You could simply put a check made out to the Friends of WILL in the mail. Our address, 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. No matter how you do it, we hope you do it, and we hope you'll do it today.
My name is Mike Shalley, and I listen to NPR. I think NPR does a great job of bringing the issues, the personalities, and the concerns of the nation to their reporting. I think that the format of public radio does allow for expansive ideas to be presented and a conversation to unfold, and I really appreciate that. I would encourage everyone to support their local NPR station.
Hello, I'm Brian Naylor from NPR News. It costs WILL a great deal of money to provide you with this type of daily news coverage, and WILL's most reliable source for this money is you. Demonstrate your support for radio that makes a difference in your life. Please call now 217-244-9455 or pledge online at willpledge.org. Thanks.
And Brian Naylor knows listener support is critical. He's been in public radio for a long time now, as has Development Director George Hauenstein, who's with me here in the studio this afternoon.
And glad to be here, Celeste, with you and Brian Naylor, and encouraging listeners to call 244-9455. You join us each and every day about this time, perhaps. You may not know what we're doing. In our fall fun drive, opportunity for you to show your support for the programs you enjoy, an opportunity for us to come to you and tell you how important your contribution is. $200,000 is the goal for this drive. We've raised just over $50,000 of that goal. We still have a ways to go. The need is urgent. The time is now for you to make that contribution. 244-9455. Contribute whatever amount is right for you. $40, $75, $120, $1 a day, $365. You pick the amount, then please give us a call. The number to call to make that contribution, 244-9455 or willpledge.org on the web.
And every gift makes a difference. Every gift is critical because listener support provides half of our operating funds. Brian Naylor didn't mention that specifically, but that is the case. So if you look at the WILL budget and you go, half of that has to come from listeners, that's a lot of money. And we raise that money one listener at a time.
Listeners like you have been very generous in the past, and we're counting on your continued generosity. Contribute what you can, 244-9455 or willpledge.org on the web.
Many people making their first ever gift have told us that they view AM 580 as a shared community resource, and if they receive value from it, they should put something back. Here's a person who can speak eloquently about the importance of WILL and how WILL is a community resource.
Our goal is to alleviate hunger in 14 counties in eastern Illinois. We have really seen a change in the needs in the community. In those 14 counties, right now we're serving about 45,000 people per month, and that's with groceries to take home to feed families, and about 150,000 to 200,000 meals per month. There's really new people coming saying, I don't know why I'm here. I've got a job. I ought to be able to feed my family, but I can't. We had been working with WILL on looking at the economy and the impact of the changes in the economy here in our community. And that has opened up a lot of doors for us to be able to talk to more people about what we're seeing going on and making better linkages in the communities that we serve. I used to think of it as, I listen to WILL, and now it's like, but wait, WILL listens to us too. So that's a very different relationship, and that's a more exciting relationship for us. I'm Andrea Rundell, and I work for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and WILL is my source for community connections.
And Andrea there was referencing a summer-long listening and reporting initiative on the economy that we did here at WILL Radio that resulted in reports on the air. It resulted in WILL talk programs, Focus 580 in the Afternoon magazine, opening the discussion to people in the community. And before we launched this, what we did was we gathered people together in communities in Decatur, in Rantoul, in Champaign, and in Danville, and we listened to people. What were they concerned about? We took what we heard. We took what we heard from people like Andrea, and we put it together and did some reporting and some radio programs. So this is truly a community resource. This is your public radio station. If you value this, we hope you will support it with a pledge of financial support.
And if you can consider a contribution of $120 or more on your credit card, we will say thank you with a fresh holiday wreath from L.L. Bean. It's a full fresh wreath made with approximately 4 pounds of balsam greenery. It's adorned with real pine cones, silvery mane, reindeer moss, and cram apples and holly berries, and trimmed with a red weather-resistant bow. It's perfect for the holidays, probably something you're going to order anyway. We'll have it to you in the first week of December. It's our way of saying thank you and happy holidays from WILL for your contribution of $120 or more on a credit card, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, or Discover. This is a real nice offer, and if you want to actually see the wreath, go to willpledge.org and you can see a photo of the wreath. But we're offering it to you as our thanks for your contribution of $120 or more at 217-244-9455 or do it on our website, willpledge.org.
Very good.